Alright. Let's see how good things go. It's a little windy. There's still snow. Plenty of snow on the ground. I'm out here in just my just my sweater and hat. I may have to turn around and go back. But I am going into the wind right now. Wind's predominantly coming out of the north. That's not too bad. Anyway, I did get my new phone, and if you've listened to some of the test recordings we made on the new phone, they were really bad. It's got a bad microphone. And so going with the two phone solution here. The old phone, which has basically been stripped down to just being a very glorified Android-based USB drive, and voice recorder. So that's what we're kind of dealing with here. oh well. I'm thinking about what I'm doing with my time more and more lately. Certainly doing a lot more writing. In several different forms, mostly essays. I've got to be honest, mostly essays, which seem to work well for me. I have a feeling that books that I come up with are going to be more along the lines of compilations of essays and writing. You know, toward a goal, you know. You don't want just to be, and these are the things that Jay wrote about in 2013, you know, the 2013 book. Because honestly, I don't think, things I don't think technology is going that way. I think the non-fiction book is going to probably be one of the first tragedies. I don't know if it's tragedy. One of the first casualties. There you go. One of the first casualties of really deep internet use. We're just now getting to the point to where the internet can really become pervasive. These tablets, I think, really spell the end of the nonfiction book, because every nonfiction book I've ever read has been a boatload of filler, to be honest. I think the fiction novel, I think, has a grand future. For size and print and all those things, the whole concept of snuggling up with a book is still a good thing. And but when it comes to information, when it comes to thought, when it comes to nonfiction, I really do think the nonfiction book is going to actually, to a certain level, disappear. And I do think that essays are going to take their place because, you know, people can sit there and can say all day long, well, you know, they said, we will never think great big thoughts if we don't, you know, if we're shoving everything down into an essay form. And you're going, you know what, I said, I don't think we've ever had big thoughts that required anything much bigger than essay form. Like I said, you know, pretty much the last few books that I've ever read, most of the nonfiction current books could be condensed down. You know, I've always viewed the best writing to be done in pamphlets, and essays and pamphlets, I think, go together quite well. And I guess that kind of grows out of the kind of desktop sort of on-demand publishing that that I used to do on, you know, laserjet printers. You know, now that whole technology has been rendered moot. I haven't even looked at a duplexing laserjet printer as something to invest in for quite some time, because it's just so much easier to get stuff out there. You know, I don't market. I don't market beyond I don't market at all. You know, I put it up on my website. If I think it has any chance at all of being something larger and being something that that needs to go on a you know, that might get, oh, the modern parlance of get slash dotted, which wouldn't happen to my stuff, which is more philosophical than it is technological. You know, I want to have it up on servers that can service that kind of load, as opposed to my little home server, which has no hope in Hades of servicing any kind of real live load. If something really kind of broke loose and got things. I was really interested. I looked at page views, and what used to be really attractive, which was the gay stuff. You know, I'm sorry, gay's hot. And so anytime I do some of my gay bashing, that often gets more hits than most of the rest of the stuff. The one that's far and above, probably four times higher now, is the psychic proximity principle, which is quite kind of a genre bender, in that you can look at it as a religious person or a metaphysician, or you know, you can look at it a few different ways. I saw it as kind of a secular way of looking at an aspect of the spirit that I had noticed. And very, very interesting. I'm getting ideas now to try to get the Mariner's log, the code, out there again. And so I might have to throw that out there somewhere and see how it, see what happens to it, see if these Mormons kind of get a little excited about it on a certain level. It shouldn't be like that. It should be like this instead. Or, oh, no, no, you should do it this way. It would make more sense. And you go, oh, well, you have to understand what the philosophy is. If you're not in with the philosophy, don't bother answering. Don't bother making a suggestion. You know, if you want to make a change to it, you certainly can. You know, I don't purport to hold any kind of ownership of it. But anyway, so starting to wonder about how best to describe myself, and it ends up being as an essayist. And I think that's probably the best thing to do. It certainly, I think, even given times when I didn't write any essays at all, but I think it's definitely become something that I am most likely to have written is essays. I think I've done more words that way. If the goal is to reach a million words as a, not as a writer, but if to reach a million words, I'll get there through an essay. I won't get there through writing a novel or anti-novels, which is what I do now, which basically end up being more, like I said, a philosophical track wrapped around a story. And to be really honest, I don't know what I think about all that, but I did it. Ultimately, well, it seems like that there's, that it's the time to do it. I'll get back to work on prophecy. It's been put down pretty good in outline form. I'm not unhappy with it. And although I have to say that I think at the moment I don't have a computer that has, oh, thank goodness, EPUBs are just standard HTML pages packaged up a certain way. So that's actually pretty good. Listen to all those geese. These things are geese. I don't know where they're headed north. There's a couple of little white, I don't know what they are exactly. They're kind of tagging along with all these geese. Huh. Anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and head back. My nose is pretty cold. I'm sure my ears are pretty cold too. I'm saving myself to put my hands in my pockets. I put the wind at my back. Things should go pretty well. Seems the wind is coming out of the northwest. North-northwest, so going back should go pretty well. Anyway, so you know, it really becomes a question of, you don't want to get cocky, you know. Best to be factual and then let others make some kind of a determination as to what the impact of what you do is. You know? So yeah, I think I like the whole idea of essayists. Because, you know, I've always looked at computer work as the day job, you know. It feeds the family for the moment. It does, you know. It's really interesting. These huge clumps of snow. They've gone kind of crystally on you, but look like they just blew in. And they shake as if any good gust of wind would blow them all down the road. But they're so big, you know. Anyway, I'm trying not to step on them. Isn't that weird? I don't quite comprehend the thought process that makes me not want to step on. And they're pretty much everywhere. But, I mean, I think I'm going to slip on them, I don't know. Well, regardless. So yeah, just continue to do stuff. I'm not going to sit and talk about whether I am a good essayist, because that would say, oh, well, he is a classic in the form. And you go, I don't care about the form. I don't care about the form on any level at all. You know, I'm not an English major. I am somebody who sees and says, I see, I say, you pay. I don't know if it's a volume business. That is, who was that character? Prophet Jack from a very odd little movie called Life or something like it. Lisa likes it, but I think she likes it for different reasons than I do. Well, anyway, so I do see this writing. I don't think I really want to be called a writer as such. I think I just want to spend more time, you know, so, you know, I have to impress. I don't know if I want to be called an essayist, because I don't think I sit there and do a marvelous job doing essays. I don't think I would be considered, you know, a paragon of the form. Nor do I want to be locked into the form and say, well, I've got to do it this way. Over the Christmas break, I wrote a little something called The Atheist Lament, which was a bit of a stab at really happy prose, you know, trying to be a little bit lyrical about this thing, rhyming couplets. Who knows what exactly I was hoping to do. But it ended up kind of being the story of of a king's advisor who thinks he's doing the world such a great favor by, so shrewd, so intellectual, proving to everybody, or convincing everybody, that there is no God. And in the end, because he stripped away any call the king had to behave in a moral or ethical fashion, particularly, he ultimately is executed by the king. And the king, in some last epic little time they have together, he works so hard to get the king's pleasure, to get the position that he has. And and the king is he's a very pious man to begin with. His chief advisor was a priest, and the priest's main thought in life was that the king do the pious thing. And in order for this young upstart to gain leverage, he had to distinguish himself from that chief counselor, and wanted a job, so he did it by convincing the king that there was no God, and that it was foolishness, and that a silly belief in God was holding the king back, that there was more things to do. Now, it turns on him, the old priest is gotten rid of. The young guy doesn't know exactly how. He's just not there anymore, and he's in his place, and it doesn't matter to the young man what happened. He was too busy being this shooting star of a political star, And come to find out, ultimately, when it comes down to the fact that what morality he has, which is mostly around, I don't want to do things that are politically indelicate. It isn't so much an ethical stand as it is more of a prudent stand. But he's done his job so well that the king feels he can also dispense with that lower sort of morality too. I'm the king. In fact, he said some people view me as a god, and I see no problem in accepting that kind of a claim. It doesn't bother me. Starts not, feeling like that things like being ungrateful to the king or being a vocal opponent of the king's position on things was sufficient fodder for execution. And of course the young man said, "Hey, wait a minute." He says, "You know," he said, "you, this isn't gonna this isn't going to ingratiate you with your people, you know. You're starting to become kind of a tyrant that doesn't care how the people feel. And he soon finds out that in saying these kinds of things, he starts becoming somebody who the king wants to get out of his way. He's tired of hearing him come in and constantly tell him what he should do and he shouldn't do. You know, he's bought the whole thing. I'm not beholden to anybody. You know, in fact, for these lowbrow, low-minded people, I am a god. And I need to act like one, you know. So, starts killing people. And then, at the very end of the story, you know, it's the advisor that's dying. His great effort, his great time in trying to say, oh no, there isn't any god, you don't need to be beholden to that, was actually his undoing. And my contention that the smart atheist is the one that says, wait a minute, what's to stop somebody from killing me? You know, why not continue to say there's a God? Even if you don't believe it, you know what? It's much better to have somebody feeling constrained by a godly morality than it is to have somebody who is not constrained by a godly morality. Much better on both counts. He was a good king until the day he found out there didn't have to be somebody bigger than he is. And he didn't have to be a good person anymore. And that's what, you know, I'm sorry. I those who like to say, no, I am a moral atheist. I can be a good person just because it's a good idea to be good. You go, it's only a good idea to be good until you have power. Then it's a good idea to be powerful. And your morality, such as it is going to change. So trust me. I said, you want there to be a God, whether you think there really is a God or not. You want to at least keep up the facade, if you can't do any better than that. Otherwise, there's nothing keeping somebody else from getting you and ending it all for you and justifying themselves all the time with your own arguments. So, it was a fun little piece. I was sitting there and I said, I am a sucky poet. You know, I was hoping it was going to be lyrical and all that stuff, you know, rhyming couplet or whatever, you know. I tried to do it kind of open form, but I didn't do that either. Poetry has to have some kind of form to it. These ones where it has no form, and when they say, oh no, I'm a poet, and you're going, no, you're just cutting off sentences in the middle and making a new line. That's all you're doing. So, it would at least be interesting if I used to see the whole thing where they would write a little story or a little thing and put the margins on each line such that it would like form a Christmas tree when you looked at it. So like that, I said, at least that one had a purpose. So anyway, I'm struggling with it. I am not a prose writer. I think it would be really fun if somebody who was like that could produce something like that. I think that would be really quite cool. Because I think it would make a certain point. It would make a certain point, which is really, I think, necessary, especially in this time of people who who pat themselves on the back and think that they've finally become somebody because they choose to throw away the concept of God. I've finally become an intelligent person. No intelligent person can be a believer in God. And you go, you will regret not at least keeping the blanket of God over you and hoping that other people huddle under the same blanket. It says, one day, for all your talk of I can still be a moral person without a God enforcing it, that's all well and good, but that doesn't mean the next guy walking down the street is going to do the same thing. And when he takes you out and he says, oh, well, I decided that I was going to be an atheist based on you, but then I got smarter. See, the next smarter thing from saying, I don't believe in God anymore, is to say, I don't have to be a moral person anymore. I can accomplish far more without all these silly morals holding me back. You know, well, I'm not going to kill anybody for now. But, you know, who's to stop them? In what universe would that be even interesting to have that be done? Anyway, so I'm back to my place. I don't know if what I'm seeing is snow from the sky or just snow blowing off of various places. So now we're getting the whole crapper load of birds coming around. That's exactly why I park where I park. Say it's people having to get their things all destroyed. Anyway, so I'm back here. Pondering as always. I'm getting to the point where I'm practically prolific with my writing, with my essayist business. So yeah, we'll just see how. Yeah, things go. Anyway, I'm back. Turn off the recording. Not a very long one. Have a great day.